rules do not inspire a child. It's dreams that inspire a child. And he was dreaming of doing what daddy was doing.
Family man.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Well, Scott, the snow is falling and it looks like it's going to be a white day here in northern Indiana. Maggie was praying and hoping that it would snow enough so she wouldn't have to go to work, but it didn't snow that much, but we're hoping to get some snow. But I don't want to do too much chit chat, Scott, because we could talk about your basement project. And we were just talking right before that things are looking up. We'll have to catch up on that. But we've got a special guest today, all the way from Louisiana. But he's from Louisiana, but he's not in Louisiana right now. And you're going to be able to tell as soon as he opens his mouth that he is in a place where things are a little bit slower and better. But we are super, super happy to have Roger Smith with us this morning.
It is my distinct pleasure to be here, Todd. Anytime I get to interact with you, it's always fun and energizing.
Doesn't he just sound smart, Scott? I mean, he just sounds like he's got a lot of wisdom.
Yes, but your accent was terrible, Todd. I'm just sorry. Say that for him because he's probably being too polite.
Yeah, he is polite. He is polite. Well, we're going to just dive in. Roger, tell us a little about yourself and where you are right now.
Well, where I am right now is I am babysitting grandchildren as my son and his wife in Waco, Texas are on a business trip. So my wife and I took vacation time from my work. I'm a physician in a small town in Louisiana. And so I took a few days off. We came over here to take care of the three granddaughters. So I'm in Waco, Texas. Jan and I have been married for 100 years. We've passed the 40-year mark a few years back. It's been a great journey. We've got four children. They're all adults now, as you might suspect. We raised them in a small town in Louisiana where I had a medical practice and still have a medical practice. And so we now live on what we refer to as the horse farm, where we raised some horses for a while, and now we have a few remaining that Jan rides and I feed.
Well, you know, it just dawned on me on this book that we're going to talk about, Parenting with Influence. It has Roger Smith, MD. That means medical doctor. I thought it meant manly dad. That's what I thought. I'm just like, now I'm like, it makes all perfect sense now. So. Yes. Well, tell us about this book, Parenting with Influence. You know, there are a lot of parenting books. There are a lot of dad books. Your book is refreshing and real. But I am kind of intrigued by this idea, Parenting with Influence. What do you mean by that?
You know, and the subtitle of that, Todd, is Shifting Your Parenting Style as You and Your Child Grow. And so we start in one place and we have to, through the years, move to a different type of relationship. And the whole premise is that we start establishing control. And that's very much rules based and very much, you know, trying to hem them in and hold on to their behavior and train and groom their behavior. But then we must move from that. And the latter years, in fact, sooner than we think, they're taking control of their lives. And if we battle over control, we're going to get embroiled in a whole lot of bad relationship patterns. And we must shift to an influential relationship to where we actually can help groom their desires, because the desires are going to drive them later in life as in the choices that they make. And so that's the premise, is that we start with control, but we must continually be trying to develop the kind of relationship that is influential, that our words then mean something to them. And we don't have to threaten them.
Well, we still do, but we shouldn't. But even in the cover of your book, you have kind of a graphic of a dad kind of pushing a kid on a big wheel or little bicycle, and that transforms into a ripstick and then a bicycle, and these kids are getting bigger until it's a giant motorcycle. But how about we start at the young end? Because there are some dads listening who do have little kids. And, you know, maybe it's because of the world we live in. Maybe it's been changing for the last, I don't know, 50 years. Yeah. But even where you talk about rules and hard rules, you know, some of us are starting out without any rules. Yeah. And it's just kind of like, how do we make our kids happy? What's so important about getting control from the beginning, maybe?
Yeah. You know, happiness is overrated. You know, I watch all these movies and the recurring line is, all I want for you is for you to be happy. And I'm going, well, that's kind of an overstatement. But where we start is a child that's, you know, has their own idea about what they want to do. And they're not usually good ideas. And so we do start with a point of establishing that, hey, we know best. And it does look like rules like, put your shoes side by side in the closet. You know, you're not going to dump your water on the floor from your high chair. There's going to be some very simple rules, and we don't have to make this hard. You know, the things that aggravate us are the things that we create rules for. And that's where we start. And learning to establish that you have to follow me. And it's not about the rules. It's really about following an authority in their life. And it is the starting point. And it's not a battle that, you know, it's not like I've got to win because I'm the parent. Well, you've got to win because they need to understand the authority structure. And we all have authorities we have to respond to. So little rules, what bedtime looks like, you know, first we brush our teeth, then we do this, then we do the next thing. And that may not look like a rule, but it is a pattern. So we start with things where we can win. And it establishes for the child submission, but it also establishes what is acceptable and good and normal behavior. So in winning, sometimes we have to use whatever language they understand. And that's why some people get embroiled in, you know, saying, well, spanking is the only way to communicate. Well, I have a saying that pain is a language. Mm-hmm. And if they don't understand the words, they can understand the language of pain or discomfort. And we all understand that language, but I'm not saying that we hurt a child. We are communicating that this is what must happen. And so even a sting of some degree that says, I mean this, this is important and you must obey. And so establishing that control is very important early on.
Do you think dads can help moms in that? Because I know sometimes moms will often say, well, what does it matter if he puts his shoes side by side in the closet? I mean, because your goal isn't so that when, and I can only think of Rodney's name, when Rodney gets older, you won't go, what? Look at that. He's got his shoes side by side in the closet. That's not your goal. No. Your goal is bigger than that. Right. You know, like you said, you want him to respond to the authority of those who he works with and God himself. Exactly. But I think sometimes we as dads need to remind our wives, you know, no, it is important that he puts his shoes side by side because we've asked him to do that.
Right. Right. And sometimes we set parameters unintentionally. We realize that we've created a rule and we go, oops, that's really carrying it too far. And we have the prerogative to then communicate. Mm-hmm. That's not what I meant, you know, and we can change the rules. But when rules do change, we have to be very clear with our children so that they're not confused. It is a communication game of sorts that we're not trying to trick or we're not trying to manipulate, but we are training. It is training. That's what it is. It is not control. We have to see rules in the early years as simply training them that eventually we can move from that. We can move from a rules-based mindset. And there's always some rules. You know, we have rules, speed limits and tax return dates and all kinds of things. But at any rate, the mindset is we're training them. We're training them what is expected, normal, and good behavior.
Okay. Then as they move from that little trike into the ripstick, to the bicycle. Yeah. How do we begin to exchange that?
I love the word exchange. And in fact, in the book, I talk about each developmental stage and what's important and valuable to that developmental stage. You know, so in the elementary years, they're wanting, at first, they're just learning to follow the rules, you know, and everything is kind of a authority submission struggle, you know, and that's why we call it the terrible twos. Is they have finally discovered that they can make their wishes known, and they're trying their best to make choices. And so once they learn submission, then we need to lighten the reins, so to speak. And in the elementary years is when they really want to learn skills. They want to do adult stuff. They want to carry the groceries. They want to fill the dishwasher. They want to do all these task-focused things. So understanding that they are learning skills during that stage. And we need to be always a little bit ahead of them saying, hey, I think you're big enough to wash the car. You're big enough to, you know, take out the trash. They want to do all those things. And so we're always just kind of a little step ahead of them so that they're always reaching for becoming the big person in the family. So that's one way that we transfer it, is that it's less about trying to hold them back. It's always trying to help them to reach forward and inspire them to be bigger than they were last week, last month, last year.
That's kind of hard though sometimes, isn't it? I mean, because you think, okay, I could involve him in washing the car. I could let him wash the car. The car won't be clean at the end of this time. That's right. So sometimes dads will tend to just kind of skip that part,
right?
Because it doesn't turn out very well for your project that you're working on sometimes.
You know, and so we have to keep that in mind, that it's not about getting it done right. We're in a training process. And we'll always be washing the car if we never let them make a mess of it. And so there are some things that really aren't that big a deal. You know, we have to lighten up a little bit. I'll never forget the time when our 7-year-old wanted to mow a yard. And we just kind of freaked out, like, you're too little. There's no way. But he was a determined little fella. So we made sure he was safe, and we chose an opportunity for him that allowed him to not do it perfectly, but to get started. And I look back thinking, my goodness, I was crazy letting a 7-year-old, I think he was 8 at the time. He wanted to at 7, but at 8, you know, he started mowing, you know, thought. But he had the strength. He was a big kid and he wanted to. And so we let him. You know, in the book, I ended with a chapter about inspiration, but really the whole thing is about inspiration. Rules do not inspire a child. It's dreams that inspire a child. And he was dreaming of doing what daddy was doing. And he saw me mowing the yard. He wanted to. That's why I love your talk about dream big, or your book about dream big. And first time I heard you talk about being a dream killer, that really connected with me. And so many times we see our kids dreaming about something. We say, that's not possible. You're too little. You know, that's crazy, you know, and in some way we kill their dreams. And so dreams is what inspires our children, and we need to fan those flames.
Well, I think you've obviously done that because your kids have proven that they are dreamers. But I love your, I don't know if this is the right phraseology, your tales from the Rodney file. Because he was a dreamer. I mean, I don't want to put words in your own mouth, but Rodney was full of energy and he was a pusher, you know, kind of doing, he had lots of ideas where he was going.
Yeah.
How do you, because we all have kids like that.
He was our most difficult child, too. Oh,
okay, that's what you had. I didn't want to say most possibilities. How do you show influence, you know, in that child's life?
Well, in Rodney's case, he was our non-traditional child. And so he pushed against everything that we thought was normal. we thought of normal childhood sports and activities as, you know, the little baseball league and, you know, playing on the basketball team at the youth league and things like that. Well, he wanted to skateboard. We didn't know anything about that. We didn't realize that there was a whole subculture. But nonetheless, he was always pursuing things that were kind of uncomfortable for us. But we realized that we needed to learn about that. And we needed to, we had to value what he was valuing in some way. And so as we saw, he had a real passion. We thought it would be a passing fancy. So, you know, we kind of got started, bought him a skateboard and things, but we soon learned that it was not a passing fancy. Mm-hmm. And so we had to get on the stick and learn about things that were related to that passion that he had. And it led from him learning to skate, developing friends in the skate community, to him developing a whole business of building skate ramps. By the time he was 13 or 14, he had taught himself how to build professional level skate ramps. And then, you know, so we saw that as an opportunity to say, okay, we're going to teach you about running a business. So Rod's Ramps was birthed. He taught us so much. He was our most challenging child, but we learned that he wasn't challenging just to be difficult.
Right.
He was just being Rodney. He was just being him. Mm-hmm. And we love the passage from Ephesians that says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that were prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that he was designed for the path that he was on. Mm. And our job was to help nurture him along that path and keep him out of trouble, you know, because, hey, every area of passion has its underbelly, so to speak. You know, the skate community, there's drugs and there's, you know, all kinds of stuff and there's wildness. But that's true about every area of interest. And so our job was to continue to groom his character and give him insight as to what was going on, things that we saw. And he learned a lot and we learned a whole lot.
I think that's so profound, I guess. You said he's just being him and that kind of those dreamers make us uncomfortable. Why do you think that? I mean, how do you deal with that, really? Because I know, you know, you're from down south and your dream for your kids was to be a NASCAR driver. And, but, you know, we all like our little thing. Where we, you know, our kids do well in school, they become an engineer or a doctor or something professional. And, you know, they get a house, they meet a girl who loves Jesus and all those things. And we kind of put that in our heads. And then you get a skateboard kid or you have another daughter who makes jewelry. I mean, and yet you have used your influence and cheered them on. Yeah. Does that come natural or does a dad have to? You know, does he have to think that through a little bit, you know, and come to a point?
Well, some people are more natural at things, but we all have to think about it because somehow in our early years as a parent, we imagine how it's all going to turn out. Mm-hmm. And very few of us get that right. You know, we think it's going to happen naturally. And yet, you know, we get embroiled in emotional conflict with our children whenever they do or think something different than what we were expecting. So we do have to think through, okay, am I overreacting here? Sometimes not. Sometimes the reaction is very important, but sometimes we have to step back and go, okay, how significant is this disappointment I'm having? Are they on the path that is right for them and their giftings? You know, I will say this. We need to sometimes evaluate what is our child's natural gift and bent. In that way, I say it's the path that they're on. And it's not about choosing a career. It's about developing those gifts. And the development of those gifts that they have will help them choose their career path. None of my kids chose medicine. Not a single one. And people ask me all the time, did that disappoint you? And I go, not at all. You know, this was my path. And it fit my skill set and my strengths, but my others will flourish in something else and they'll have impact where they are. And that's our goal is for them to have an impact in the world they live and the career that fits that. And I can't control that. Mm-hmm. In fact, trying to control that is going to be fraught with frustration. That's why we got to move to influence them, and they're going to make their own decisions. So let's continually be moving to the relationship where we have the privilege of speaking into their lives when because they ask for it.
Because you can take yourself out of the influence of your children's lives.
Absolutely.
I mean, like if you had said to Rodney, well, no son of mine's going to be a skateboarder. You know, you're going to play basketball or baseball. And then, you know, maybe at 13, it's harder. But at a certain age, they just kind of turn their back on you and say, you don't care about my stuff. I don't care about your stuff. And then you have zero influence.
Right. Exactly. So we considered that whenever he was 13 and he was the catcher on the baseball team and was the all-star catcher, just like I dreamed him to be. Okay.
Johnny Bench.
Yes, that's right. That was my hero back in the day.
1975.
Yeah. And so he looked at me and said, I'd rather be skateboarding. Mm. And I had to gather my own sense of pride and go, hold on here. You know, this is not what I really want for you. But it wasn't about playing baseball. It was about him making choices that weren't life altering. You know, sometimes we do have to intervene when it's a life threatening choice they're making. Sure. But this wasn't life threatening. It was my choice versus his. And fortunately, someone had influenced me enough to realize that I didn't need to press my choice at that point, and it made all the difference. So if dads are struggling, you know, are embroiled in a control, your choice versus mine, really evaluate, is that choice really that important? And can you go along and help them develop their own decision-making skill? Because you don't want to be controlling a 30-year-old. Mm. When do you start transferring control? And I say earlier rather than later, you know.
Well, what about, because I know some of the dads here have older kids, you know, who are 30 years old. Does your influence stop at some point, or does it just look different now?
Well, as you said, it can end. But so if we don't keep an honest and kind and tender and interested relationship and groom that, then yeah, it could short circuit your ability to be an influence. So what it looks like for me, now I have my oldest child is in the late 30s. Rodney, my troubled child,
is in the mid-30s.
Yeah, the mid-30s. I have a daughter in between those two. She's, I think, 37. And she has her own business, a leather business where she makes clothes and purses and bags and books and all kinds of things. And then the youngest son's an electrical engineer in Houston. So it looks like this. My daughter calls and says, hey, there's this business opportunity that I didn't know about that just presented itself. And here are the particulars. What do you think? And I go, well, here's, I see this potential problem. This seems too good to be true. You better ask more about that. So I just give my reactions and they take them and use them as they wish. You know, rather than saying, I don't think you should do that, you know, unless they say,
right,
do you think I should do this? And then I say, I'm concerned about that. I wouldn't, but that's your call. And then with some of the others, I may say, hey, like we're babysitting. We're seeking to be an influence in his own home, even when he's not here. You know, I'm a stand-in for him so that he can go. It's a professional development thing that he's at. And so sometimes it looks like that, just being a help to them and being available. So it will certainly transition over time. And the more we demand that they listen to us, oftentimes the less they listen. But if they sense genuine care and concern and interest, they do respond to that. So it is, even as a teenager, they want to know that we are concerned about their concerns. And so sometimes it's those conversations of, hey, tell me what's going on here. You seem frustrated, or you seem excited. Tell me about it.
Well, you're such a good question asker. But I know some dads and some moms, they're not question askers. They're answering questions that aren't even asked. You know, they're always telling you. And I know even in my life, there are certain people who aren't parents. They're not, you know, that you're like, I don't want to tell them about it because they're going to tell me all they know about this. And I think kids are sometimes the same way. You know, I don't want to tell dad because he's just going to tell me about why all my ideas are wrong. And again, then you've lost your influence again.
Right, right. You know, that's why I put in the appendix of the book, I put a list of questions that could foster conversation. Conversation is two-way. There's part of it talking, part of it listening. And if it's all talking, that's not a conversation.
Right.
And so in the appendix, it gives some suggested starting points. If you're not really good at conversation, sometimes we need training how to ask an open-ended question that doesn't have a yes or no answer. And so that's why I gave a whole list about 15 or 20 questions for each general age group. Say, these are some ways to get started with conversation. If you're not good at conversation, we need to learn how to talk with our kids. And that means talking and listening, talking and listening. In fact, the older they get, the more listening we do.
Well, hey, Roger, we're just about out of time. I know your book includes so much more than what we've talked about. But if they want to get a copy of your Parenting with Influence, where might they find that? Or how could they get a hold of you if they've got a question? Or, you know, I know you speak all over the country. You know, if you like the way he sounds and you want to bring that to your amazing friends up north with the guy who talks like Roger and has great wisdom, how can they get a hold of you?
My website is a place to purchase the book, and also you can get in touch with me there. But my website is rogersmithmd.com. Rogersmithmd.com.
Manly dad.
Manly dad. Yeah. And so you can purchase the book there. Naturally, it's also available Amazon and other places where you can buy books online. And so just search for Parenting with Influence. Naturally, it's better for me. I can send it directly to you if you order it through my website. And if you have questions, comments, thoughts, you know, frustrations, you can reach out to me at roger@rogersmithmd.com. And I'll seek to respond to your situation confidentially. So I'm always available to try to help parents, families succeed in raising the next generation. That's our heart and our mission.
That's awesome. And Roger, thanks for joining us. I appreciate your friendship and I appreciate your wisdom and your example to lots of dads of all ages. So thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure, Todd.
Well, Scott, I hope you were encouraged. And, you know, I feel that influence. I still feel it for my dad. And if you guys remember to pray, my dad is going through some health issue as Parkinson's, and it's getting a little bit more difficult. And they have, you know, decisions and choices to manage their health that they have to make. But he still has the influence in my life. And that's what we want. We want to the very end that we have that influence in our children's lives. But I think, you know, Roger's right. And his book does an even better job explaining, you know, at the beginning how to, you know, take that control and then how later on to offer less control and more opportunities and until the very end, till you're still influencing at the end. So I want to encourage you to go check out his book and to purchase it. It's a cheap book, but you would be encouraged by reading it. And Scott, I was asking you before I leave, because we have just a couple minutes. So a quick update on your basement.
The guys left yesterday. They've finished their work for installing the drain system and shoring up the walls so they don't ever cave in. So it looks a lot better now. I'm not as mentally stressed as I was last week, but but yeah, it's still a giant mess for me to deal with at this point. But you know, we're getting there one step at a time. Now it's the
and you're getting closer to being a grandpa. And you told me that you kind of come up with a new grandpa name. The Galactic President Superstar McAwesomeville, which is kind of a mouthful for a little kid. Yes. So you might just be called, yeah, you know, but so Pop Doc or whatever he was.
Papa Doc.
Papa Doc. That's kind of a cool name. You would, of course, have to go to med school and become a doctor before you could use that one.
But kids don't care.
Details, that's right. That's what there was an old story where Garrison Keillor said that he had a cousin who is governor or so and so. He wasn't the governor. His mother named him that, you know. And yes. So, you know, that's a possibility. So, well, I got to go. I got to go do gym. My wife's texting me that we need to leave. So, Dads, I hope you were encouraged. You know, that's why we do this show. That's why we do Family Man Ministries, because our influence in our children's lives is so, so great. And there is nothing you do that impacts the world more. Not your job, not your ministry. It's being a dad. So don't get discouraged. If you failed, pick it up, keep going, and do it because you're the dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at Scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week. Stop.